This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofatim, chapter 16. This chapter essentially depicts what we might call the downfall of Shimshon. It opens with Shimshon visiting a harlot or prostitute in Azah. Hearing that he's in town, a group of Pelishtim in Azah was under the control of the Pelishtim, try to ambush him, waiting for him outside the city, but in the end their plot is foiled because he wakes up in the middle of the night and with his great strength is able to carry the gates of the city up to the top of a mountain on his own. Thereby enabling himself to leave the city unharmed. Now, the remainder of the chapter contains the very famous story, known in English as Samson and Delilah, known to us as Shimshon and Delilah. Shimshon becomes enamored with a woman named Delilah, who is one of the Pelishtim, apparently, and takes her as his wife, or so it would seem. The Pelishtim see this as an opportunity to spy on Shimshon and discover the secret to his great strength, so they can place him in a position of vulnerability and weakness, and take advantage of that. Delilah is approached by the Pelishtim with a significant offer of money in exchange for providing the service to them, investigating Shimshon, questioning him, finding out what the secret is, and relaying it to them. So she indeed probes Shimshon for the secret to his strength. Three times he gives her a false answer. The first time he says that binding him with 7 fresh cords would cause him to lose his strength. She ties him with the 7 fresh cords. Actually, they're provided to her by the Pelishtim themselves, the princes of the Pelishtim. And while he's sleeping, she ties him up and has the Pelishtim waiting in the next room. When she wakes him and tells him that the Pelishtim are present, he's able to tear those cords off like they're nothing and to defend himself and, of course, kill the Pelishtim who are attacking him. The next time he claims that being tied with 7 brand new ropes is what will make him lose his strength. The third time he says it's tying the locks of his hair to a loom is what will weaken him. Each time Delilah tries this and gets more and more frustrated, begging him to tell her the truth, claiming that he doesn't really love her and that that's why he's refusing to let her in on his secret. It would seem that each time also the Pelishtim, in a way, withdraw more from the process. The first time they provided Delilah with the cords with which to tie Shimshon. The second time they wait in the next room for the ambush, but don't seem to participate in any way in the restraining of Shimshon. And the third time around, it doesn't even seem that they're present. It seems that she simply says the Pelishtim are here to gauge the reaction of Shimshon to see if, in fact, he will have lost his strength as a result of having his hair tied to the loom. It's also worth mentioning that each time Shimshon moves a little bit closer to the truth. Using the number 7 in the first two answers, the first two lies he tells Delilah, is probably a reference to the 7 locks of hair that he has on his head. Telling her that tying his hair to the loom will make him lose his strength is pretty close to the actual truth. That the strength that he has is connected to his hair and its length, although he doesn't reveal that cutting it off is what would lead to him losing his strength, not tying it to a loom. In any case, after intense pressure from Delilah, the rabbis say that she withheld marital relations from Shimshon in order to torture him. Shimshon finally reveals the secret that he is a Nazir, and that his long hair, which he's had since he was born, symbolizes his devotion to God. And that were his hair to be cut, he would lose that strength and become like any other man. Delilah lets the Pelishtim know that she finally has the truth. She does believe that she has extracted the secret from him, and she's correct. They capture Shimshon, and they blind him in both eyes. They bring him to the temple of their idol Dagon, and the Pelishtim are celebrating this great deliverance that they believe their false god has handed them. The Pelishtim order Shimshon to dance before them so that they can make fun of him and enjoy mocking him. After the performance, he asks the young boy who's leading him around, since now he's blind, to let him lean against the pillars of the building in order to rest. And as Shimshon's hair has begun to grow since he's been in prison, he once again has taken upon himself the status of a Nazir. He cries out to Hashem for one last miracle to be able to have his strength back, and Hashem grants the wish. Shimshon leans against these pillars upon which the entire building was resting, and the entire edifice falls upon the heads of everyone assembled, killing thousands of Pelishtim and Shimshon. The family of Shimshon is able to identify and recover his body and give him a proper burial in the plots that belonged to his family, to his ancestors, and his father. But the but nonetheless, the career of Shimshon ends in a dramatic and a tragic way. There are a couple of important points to consider in this chapter that lead us to an understanding of what its lessons are and what its themes are. First, it's noteworthy that the chapter starts with Shimshon going to this prostitute for the first time with no plan in mind. He purely goes for pleasure. So unlike the prior romantic escapades that he had, which were all motivated by some kind of a strategy, he was looking for a pretext to attack the Pelishtim. He was trying to, in some way, use it as leverage. Here, he seems genuinely that he is driven by libido here. And on similar lines, he falls in love with Delilah. The Pesukim don't say that he saw her and saw that it was a good idea for him to marry her for some ulterior motive, but rather the Navi simply states that he fell in love with her and wanted to be with her. And we can see that from the way that he interacts with her as well. So these two elements of the narrative point to the idea that Shimshon is kind of falling apart as a leader. He's starting to focus on himself, the satisfaction of his own desires, separate and apart from the higher mission he has as a savior of the Jewish people. So he's lost his cognizance of his national role, getting too caught up in the immediate pleasures and enjoyments, physical and emotional, of his individual life. This trend also helps us explain what's very strange about the whole episode with Delilah. It seems like Shimshon is a fool. He realizes that everything that he says to Delilah is something she intends to do. When he tells her that binding him with cords will cause him to lose his strength, she binds him with cords, and then the Pelishtim show up. When he says that it's tying his hair to a loom, she does that, and the Pelishtim show up. Each time, whatever he tells her, she tries. So doesn't he realize that she's going to cut his hair and expose him to the assaults of Pelishtim? Secondly, why does the shaving of his head per se cause him to lose strength? Why should that be the key factor? That's never made clear in the story. I think, first of all, we have to realize that Shimshon almost certainly did not recognize that Delilah was inviting the Pelishtim to ambush him each time. He probably thought that in some kind of playful way, she was experimenting with whatever the secret was that he allegedly told her, to see if he would really become weak, if it would really take away his strength. And she probably presented it to him as some kind of a cute game she was playing, and that it was just a coincidence that the Pelishtim showed up the first two times. As we said, it didn't seem that that they actually showed up the third time, so that might have corroborated her story. And so he figured that allowing her to cut his hair wouldn't be such a terrible thing. It would show his vulnerable side. It would maybe bring them closer together. It would make her love him more. And no great harm would come from it. He didn't expect that the Pelishtim would be knocking at his door a minute later. But beyond that, what we see from the way that he reveals his secret to her is that Shimshon has really lost focus on his divine mission. He's so wrapped up in his relationship with Delilah, and he's so consumed with seeking her love and approval, that he actually places the nation at risk by divulging a secret. What we see is that he's blinded to her real nature because he is so passionately involved with her that he doesn't seem to realize that the feelings are not mutual, and that she is manipulating him while he's falling more and more deeply in love with her. And this is the greatest error of Shimshon, the mistake that he empowers her, whether he trusts her or not, whether he loves her or not, he empowers her to imperil, to harm the entire Jewish people by giving her the ability to take away his strength. And that is really the sin of Shimshon, that he gave her the power to do that, and therefore basically gave her the power to cause harm to the entire Jewish people. He sacrificed the national security and protection on the altar of his love for her, and that was the sin of Shimshon. This bad decision of Shimshon was really the reason why the divine presence is withdrawn from him, and why he loses the position of leadership, whatever kind of position of leadership he had. The cutting of his hair was just a manifestation of this failure of Shimshon as a protector of the Jewish people. It manifested in a physical form the fact that he had given, essentially, his power. He had given his capacity to serve the Jewish people over to the hands of Delilah. And this mistake, this tragic error, is what causes the dramatic end and the very sad end of the career of Shimshon, who is the last individual Shofet whose story is recorded in the book of Shofetim.